First of all, before beginning, I would like to congratulate our governing board commissioner on GBC, Bogosh Prabhu, both for a very successful Dublin Ratiyatra, and I would say, in many ways, an equally successful Belfast Ratiyatra. I would also like to congratulate our local temple president, Garuda Prabhu, for such nice, efficient organization, providing all of us a nice, wonderful opportunity to serve Srila Prabhupada and Lord Jagannath, Subhadra, and Balaram at this wonderful Ratiyatra festival. Of course, one could say that there wasn't a lot of people out there today. It was a Sunday, after all, and there wasn't a lot of people on the street. Nevertheless, I would say that the festival was a complete success because the Lord was there. The Lord's pure devotee was there, and the assembled Vaishnavas, the assembled devotees were there. One way people judge the success of an event is by how many people come. But another way that you can judge an event is by who comes. There's the quantity and there's the quality. So in some sense we may have been missing the quantity, although there were several hundred, maybe a couple thousand people who saw the Ratiyatra festival. But certainly no one can doubt the quality of who came. Who is our most important guest today? The Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, Lord Jagannath, Lady Subhadra, and Balaram. Ishwara Padama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karanakara. Who is the most important person in the entire creation? Nay, beyond the creation, into the spiritual world, who's the most important person? Nitya Nitya Nam Chaitanya Chaitanya Nam Ekamahanam Yoga Dinati Kamam. Upanishads state that out of all the eternal beings, and there are so many eternal beings, eternal living entities, there is one, Eka, who is fulfilling the desires of everyone. That is Krishna. He is Supreme Ishwara, Ishwara Padma Krishna, superior even to the great Devatas, Indra, Brahma, Shiva, Ganeshaji. As great as they are, they derive their power from the Supreme Ishwara, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. He was present today. And Shastra states that wherever the Lord is present personally, all his associates are also there. All his energies are also there. All his servants are also there. Whether we can see them or we cannot see them, that is something else. But they're there. So it was a very successful festival. A few thousand fortunate conditioned souls, by the mercy of the Lord, they also got to participate. The Lord never goes anywhere alone. One time our spiritual master Prabhupada said, you'll never see a picture of Krishna alone. That's Mayavad. The Lord is there with his devotees and the process of devotional service is always taking place. So rest assured, my dear Duranga Prabhu, my dear GBC Pragosh Prabhu, very successful festival. The Lord was there with all his transcendental associates and by their mercy and by your mercy as well, some few souls, they got some mercy, and that's okay. One time our Parama Guru, Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, he said he would consider his whole mission, which was Gaudiya Math. He established single-handedly a great mission for preaching Krishna consciousness in the subcontinent of India. And he said he would consider his whole mission a success if just one single person became a pure devotee of Bhagavan Shri Krishna. So rare it is, in this world. He would not come to the material world for the purpose of rendering service to God. People come to the material world to forget God. And that forgetfulness is very deep in the heart of the conditioned soul. Maya Dakshana Prakriti. Lord says that in this material world, this divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. Lord admits himself. It's very difficult to overcome this material energy. Very difficult. So if the Lord comes, or the Lord representatives come, and they are able to capture someone, to remind them, Jivera Supoya Krishnera Nidhas, my dear sir, you're eternal servant of Krishna. By the force of this maya, this illusion, you have forgotten. Please, again take up the process of spiritual life. Again take up the process of Krishna consciousness. But I have something very significant. Our hope today is that some souls on the streets of Belfast will awaken to their original constitutional position as devotees of the Lord. That is the purpose of Ratha Yatra. This festival has been going on in Bharat, in Bharat Varsha, for thousands of years. And it was the desire of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, to bring this festival to the West, to Ireland, to England, to Scotland, to Wales, to France, to Germany, to Russia, to Australia, to China. That was his desire, so that people could appreciate the beauty of Vedic culture. However, this festival has a deeper meaning than just appreciating the beautiful culture of India. It has a much more significant meaning than just the colors and the singing and the dancing and the festivity. There's a much more profound meaning behind that, this festival and this parade. Because through this Ratha Yatra, this chariot parade, the Lord himself hopes to fulfill one of his main objectives in coming to this material world. Actually, Lord has no business in this world. Again, this is a place where people come to forget God. Why God would come here? The great Chanakya Pandit, who wrote the Niti Shastra, Kutila Shastra, he advises us. He says, don't go to a place where there's not a good physician, a good doctor, there's not a pious king, there's not a flowing river, and where people are inimical towards you. This is his, Niti Shastra means common sense. Even we need to be reminded of common sense. If you're leaving your home country, don't go to a place where there's not a good doctor, because if you fall ill, who will take care of you in that foreign place? Don't go to a place where there's an impious king. He may imprison you. Hey, there's one foreigner here. What is he doing here? Don't go to a place where there's an impious king. Don't go to a place where there's not a clean, flowing river. Because then how will you get water to drink? How will you cook? How will you clean your clothes? How will you wash? And he also advises the main purpose of that shlok. Don't go to a place where people are inimical towards you. You only have trouble. You go on vacation there, you won't have a vacation, you will be very difficult to buy. We can apply the same logic. This world is full of forgetful souls. From Brahma down to the insignificant end, to greater or lesser degrees, everyone is forgetful of God. Even the devatas, as great as they are and as much as we must respect them, they're great devotees of the Lord, but they're not in the spiritual world yet. They still have some material desires in the heart that keep them in the material existence. Just a little more cleansing of the heart, and then back home, back to Godhead. But still there's some slight degree of forgetfulness of Krishna. Therefore, they also have to experience birth, disease, old age, and death, as any conditioned soul does in this world. Although the duration of life is very long, still, death also comes to the devotees. And if they are Krishna conscious, by the time they die, they immediately go to Vaikuntha. So everyone is forgetful of God to some degree. So why would God come here to the material world? He's living in the spiritual world, enjoying loving pastimes with his devotees 24 hours a day for all of eternity. That is the spiritual world. The spiritual world is simply love. Loving sentiments, loving relationships with God. Why would he come to the material world? This is where people come to forget. They leave the spiritual world to come to the material world to try to be happy separate from God. Why he would come here? Vishastra explains he comes here not like we come to enjoy this material energy. He comes out of a sense of compassion. Just like some of you are fathers, your sons, your daughters may leave home. It happens sometimes. It is painful to the heart. How much more that is true with the Supreme Father. Krishna says in Gita, he is the seed-giving father of all living entities. If just one of his children leaves the kingdom of God and comes to the material world, it is causing him pain. So out of his infinite compassion, he comes. It's no secret. It's there in the wisdom of Gita. Parikranaya sadhanam vinashaya tadushkritam. He says in Gita, a famous verse. He comes to this material world to deliver the sadhus, to annihilate the miscreants, those who are asadhu, who imbibe demoniac principles. We saw Ravana, his sister Subhana, who cause pain to the devotees. That is their pastime. As the sadhus give pleasure to others by enlightening them in spiritual life, those who are asuras, their pleasure is giving pain to those who are innocent. It's hard for us to understand, but there exists that type of person in this world. So the Lord comes, and he annihilates them. And while he's here, he reestablishes the principles of religion. Because in this world, everything comes to pass. Everything is temporary. Everything erodes in time. Even the principles of religion, dharma. Therefore, Lord has to come again and again and again. It's described in Gita. He comes once in a day of Brahma. If you take time by the calculation of the demigods, because they're more important than us, that means God's coming every day to give you the sublime message of Krishna consciousness. Imagine if someone every day at 12 noon knocked on your door to give you some important message. Something significant. He's taking his valuable time to come to your house and knock on your door. So once in a day of Brahma, which means by the calculation of demigods, every day, Lord is coming, or he's sending his representative, he's sending some saint, he's sending some rishi. There's always an opportunity for the spiritual seeker to hear the truth if he's genuinely sincere. No one can say they don't have the chance. Lord is coming daily. He's sending the prophet, he's sending the messenger, he's sending the Messiah. In different times in the history of the human race, in different parts of the world, there's always some form of dharma available for the sincere seeker of the truth. He's so kind. And that is the mission of Jagannath Swami. Jagannath Swami is not different than Sri Krishna. Actually, ite chamsa kalo pumsha Krishnashtu Bhagavan Swayam Indriya Vyakalam Lokam Vidayante Juge Juge. Shastra states that all the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions, but Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All these expansions appear in the material world whenever there's a disturbance created by the enemies of Indra. In other words, when the demons get the upper hand, the Lord comes in various expansions. This Jagannath Swami is one expansion of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Actually, if you have the spiritual eyes to see his original form, you would see that Jagannath Swami is Vrindavan Krishna. He's the Lord in his sweet loving pastimes in his own abode at Sri Vrindavan, where he has loving exchanges with his devotees, and there's his brother Balaram, his sister Subhadra. Why has Jagannath Swami appeared in this world, in this particular form? To give mercy? Actually, this form of the Lord in particular, Jagannath Swami, he's particularly merciful. All the forms of the Lord are merciful, but Jagannath is especially merciful. Therefore, he's called Patita Pavana. In our Krishna conscious movement, we more often quote, or we often refer to Lord Chaitanya, who is the most recent incarnation of the Lord, as Patita Pavana. It means the deliverer of the most fallen. And Lord Jagannath has been around for thousands of years as also Patita Pavana, deliverer of the most fallen. He resides generally in his temple. In our tradition, of course, the Lord is worshipped in the Arta Vigraha, the deity form, in the temple. He is not a statue, he is not simply wood. By the mercy of the Lord, he comes in this form. God can turn matter into spirit, he can turn spirit into matter. He's absolute. So out of his causeless mercy, he appears as the deity form, so that his devotees can come to the temple and daily behold his beautiful form and become purified. Because the form of the Lord is absolute. If you just gaze upon that absolute form of the Lord, the result is that Chaito, Dharpana, Marjanam, all the impurities in your heart, like lust and anger and grief, they're washed away by glancing at Allah. Therefore, he's so kind. Therefore, in our tradition, especially our tradition is coming from where? Our tradition is coming from India. Therefore, you see, India is full of temples. From the Himalayas down to the tip of India, there's temple after temple after temple after temple after temple. Why? So that the devotees can go daily and purify their hearts by seeing the form of the Lord. I think there's probably more temples in India than there are churches and mosques and synagogues combined in the entire world. Because India is Bharat. It is the seat of religion. Bharat Varsha. Bharat means, actually, there's various ways you can translate Bharat. Bharat can mean light. So Bharat Varsha means the land of light. Yes, it's a tropical country. But it means more than that. It means the light of truth. Bharat Varsha. The light of truth is revealed. So it is only natural that the people in India are mostly interested in spiritual life. Mostly. Of course, that is all changing now with Kali Yuga. Now they're becoming more interested in Western values and giving up their beautiful spiritual culture. But for the most part, people in India, they know this science of going to the temple. But again, it is Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel, hypocrisy, Iron Age. And as this age advances, even our very dear Bharat will eventually become covered as well. Unless we try to work together to revive Vedic culture, even in India, it is quickly disappearing, unfortunately. So people are generally coming to the church, they're coming to the mosque, they're coming to the synagogue, they're coming to the temple to see God in the form in which he's worshipped in that particular tradition. That is why the church, the mosque, the temple, the synagogue, they're referred to as houses of God. This is God's house where the Lord is worshipped. And therefore, because it's God's house, it's always open house. Sometimes we have open house. We'll invite our friends to our house, or we'll have a party and we'll call it open house. And people can come. Well, you want to sell a house, so it's open house. But in Lord's house, doors are always open. That's the door back to the kingdom of God. The Lord is inviting, come see me. Hear my glories in my house of God. Chant my glories. Associate with my devotees. Partake of foodstuff that is offered to me. This is how we become purified, particularly in the previous age, Dwapara Yuga. Temple worship was the process in the previous age. But as Kali Yuga advances, fewer and fewer people are coming to the mosque. Fewer and fewer people are coming to the church. Fewer and fewer people are coming to the synagogue. And fewer and fewer people are coming to the temple. Therefore, they are selling the houses of God and they're making supermarkets out of it. I have seen. We were having kirtan with the Ratha Yatra parade. We went past one very old Presbyterian church, I believe it said on the old inscription on the stone. 1905. And I was shocked. It's now a supermarket. And I've seen in some countries where they turn the church into a pub. And no one is objecting. At least 10, 20, 30 years ago, people would object. Nowadays, Kali Yuga is advancing so fast, people are not objecting. It is a very sad state. We are so much enamored by the false hope of material pleasure through the various gadgets that come out, like, you know, an iPhone, which does everything I've heard. Probably doesn't do everything, but it does so many things. Cameras, you can zoom in 10 times, digital, and put them on your computer. iPods, television, cars. You can hardly keep up with all the gadgets, the enamored with it. All offering us the promise of happiness. But it doesn't really work because it doesn't touch the soul. It may satisfy the senses temporarily. It doesn't touch the soul. And the first step in the science of self-realization is to understand, I'm not the body. I'm the soul inside. So you're missing the point if you think that material enjoyment will really give you lasting pleasure. It will give some cheap thrill, but it won't touch the soul, which is hankering for unending happiness. It's a sorry state. People are running more to the stores than they are to the house of God. But Lord, He knows this mentality because He's everywhere. Lord is in the spiritual sky with His devotees. He's present everywhere in every atom of the universe. He's present in your heart as the Paramatma, as the Supersoul. He understands this mentality, so He expands His compassion. How does He do that? He leaves the temple. That's Ratha Yatra. Ratha Yatra means, out of the Lord's infinite mercy, knowing that people won't come to see Him, what does He do? He comes to see you. This is something truly amazing. Because we're not looking for God, He comes looking for us. So He inspires His devotee to build a beautiful chariot, and he's taken from the temple, and he's placed on the chariot, beautiful Vaikuntha chariot, and he rides very majestically through the town, and you're forced to see him, because nothing is more beautiful than that display of the spiritual energy. Today, as we are going through this town of Belfast, and we know, I've heard the history, it is a sorrowful history. Hopefully it is getting better now. But I was hearing some of the history, and I could see it. The town is not so developed as our other cities in the European Union or in the subcontinent or the continent of Europe. Many places are not rented yet, they're for let. You can see the destruction, you can see it's gray, it's dark, it's somewhat gloomy. We hope to be good residents of this town of Belfast that will change. But for now, it is pretty grim looking. But when the Lord's chariot was coming through the streets of Belfast, advertising the spiritual world, don't remain here, Abhrama Bhuvana Loka Punar Arvito Arjuna Mamupe Siti Kontiya Punar Janma Nividyate. Belfast is mentioned in that verse in Bhagavad Gita. From the highest planet, the material world, down to the lowest, all the places of misery when repeated birth and death take place. Therefore we say Belfast, because Krishna says, the highest planet in the material down to the lowest, Belfast is included there somewhere. All our places of misery, where in repeated birth and death take place. But punarjanmanidhite, Krishna says, one who is fortunate enough to turn his attention away from the false promise of material happiness to my loving devotional service, he engages in that devotional service, he gives his life to me, Krishna, he purifies his heart, he awakens that ecstatic love of God. At the moment of death, where does he go? Is he born again? No. He goes immediately to Vaikuntha. He goes to the Lok. He goes to the spiritual world. And having once gone there, you never come back. That's Krishna's guarantee. One time someone asked my spiritual master, when you get back to the spiritual world, do we remember that we are in the material world? And Prabhupada said, yes. But you remember it like a very bad dream. But you know, you've had a bad dream, so you wake up at night. Sometimes it's so bad you don't want to go back to sleep. So that is how, if you make the comparison between material life and spiritual life, it's not a difficult choice to make. Those who don't know what is genuine spiritual life, they only have material life, and that is very frustrating. Like Jean-Paul Sartre, he was a French philosopher. He could speak like me about the miseries of material existence. He didn't know the Sanskrit shloks, but he was an intelligent man. He could see things in proper perspective. He could see that the suffering far outweighs the happiness, but he had no alternative. He didn't know about spiritual life. He didn't know about Krishna consciousness. He didn't know about Krishna. His only solution to the problem was to take his life. Our solution to the problem is to give real life. Spiritual life. Krishna consciousness. That's also a reality. It's not a figment of someone's imagination. The spiritual world, God, loving devotion. No, that is not some poet's description, some philosopher's dream. It's a fact. It's a reality. And we know it. Because as we mentioned the other day, real people come from the spiritual world to remind us of our real home. Krishna came 5,000 years ago. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago. Muhammad came 1,500 years ago. Buddha also came. These are not persons which display the same characteristics, the same mentality, the same desires that we, as conditioned souls, manifest. Tatikshava karunika shuridam sharvadehinam atata shatavashanta shadavashadabhushanam. The saintly person, He is manifesting all wonderful spiritual qualities, natural, from his heart, cleanliness, truthfulness, mercy, austerity, tolerance, forgiveness, love for all living entities. He has no enemies. He sees everyone as his friend. That's rare, but once in a while, you'll stumble across such a personality by God's grace. Chanaka Pandit, he again says, You will not find emeralds in every mountain. You will not find sandalwood in every forest. You will not find a pearl on the head of every elephant. And you will not find genuine sadhus, genuine rishis, genuine yogis, monks. You will not find them in every birth. If you find one, tadviri paripatena paripashana sevaya upadekshanti teginam Ganeshtattva Darshanaha. Take lessons from that saintly person. How to get out of this material world and go back home, back to Godhead. So the Lord Himself takes up that mission. Not just the rishis, the sadhus, the yogis who are traveling and teaching. Lord Himself. He inspires His devotee. Take me from this dark temple where no one is coming to see me. Take me onto the streets so I can see them. And He's so kind. He doesn't even blink. If you were thinking, oh, it's only because of the pain. Now, he is absolute. He is like that for a reason. So he doesn't miss one conditioned soul. Shastra says that if someone out of respect, just out of respect, stands up when the Rath Yatra chariot is passing by in the town, that person is, from that point on, to be considered an eternal associate. That's how potent this Rath Yatra festival is. When one of my godbrothers read that, he went to my spiritual master. He said, sure, Prabhupada, I've been practicing Krishna consciousness for 7 years, and there's no guarantee I'm going to make it back to Godhead because I'm a very fallen person, although I'm trying to chant Hare Krishna. But here it says in the Nectar of Devotion that if someone stands up to receive the cart of Lord Jagannath as it goes by, from that day on, that person is considered an eternally liberated soul, servant of Krishna. Now, how is that possible when I'm still struggling? Prabhupada said, where it says that? The devotee said, it says here in the scripture, Nectar of Devotion. Well, let me see. They showed Prabhupada, he read it. He said, is it in Shastra? Then it must be so. It must be so. That if you show some respect for Lord Jagannath, not even knowing all of his glories, but you show, sir, I will stand for you, you are going by your chariot. I will help your devotees pull this up. So potent is that activity of receiving the Lord, pulling the chariot, coming to his festival, taking prasad, chetodharpanamarjana. Your heart becomes purified. Therefore, our spiritual master, Prabhupada, wanted these ratha-yatras in every town and village of the world. To give people the opportunity. You can say, yes, but they don't know what's happening when they stand. They don't know what they're doing when they pull the rope. They don't know the benefit of eating this food. They don't know the benefit of hearing this mantra, Hare Krishna. It does not matter. It will work. Just like a virus enters into your body, you get a cold, you get a flu. Just like just before coming to Ireland, I caught a very bad flu. So much so, all my friends were saying, don't go. I know, I have to go. It'll go away. It didn't go away. It stayed for several days. I didn't know how, but somehow that virus was working in my body and causing so much distress. So conversely, the opposite way, when this bug of Krishna consciousness enters in your heart through the medium of oral reception, Hare Krishna, food, through visualizing the form of the Lord, or just seeing a devotee, that acts in a good way to purify your heart and awaken your Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Prabhupada wanted these beautiful, colorful, ecstatic festivals to go to these dreary towns like Belfast and Dublin and London and Paris. They're all dreary from the ultimate point of view. They're not like the spiritual world, which is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Someone can say, oh, but this is for Indian people. No, this is not for Indian people. This is for everyone because Krishna says in Gita again, he's the seed-giving father of every living entity. This festival is for everybody. And Jagannath means what? It means he's Lord of the universe. Everyone is his servant. To think otherwise is only a form of madness. To think I'm anything but God's servant, to think I'm anyone, anything but Krishna's servant is a form of madness. Because what is the definition of madness? One form of madness is to think you're somebody you're not. Is that not a form of madness? You can go to the mental institution, you can walk in, and you can meet, you know, a common man who says he's Shakespeare, who says he's Julius Caesar, who says he's Tony Blair, can you imagine? Who says that he's Winston Churchill, who says that he's Michael Jackson. The mental institution is full of those people. There's just some common man who has this madness. And we laugh. But really, we're only laughing at ourselves. Because if you think for one moment that you're this material body, if you think for one moment you're any of the nomenclatures that we give this body, like, I'm a man, she's a woman, or I'm white, or she's black, or yellow, or I'm American, or you're English, or you're Irish, or German, or Russian. If you think like that for one moment, it's the same type of madness. Because what are you really? Jivarsupoya Krishnara Nityadas. You are only the eternal servant of Krishna. But somehow or other you have fallen into this material creation, and by the power of Maya, she can throw us down to the material world, she can cover us and make us think, I'm Irish, I'm English, I'm American, I'm German, I'm Japanese, I'm white, I'm black, I'm blue, I'm green. We become so attached to this bodily identification, we're ready to fight for it. kingdom of illusion. We are none of these things. We are temporarily identifying with these bodies, which are here today, and they may be gone tomorrow. No one can say for certain that they will live until tomorrow night. At some point you have to leave. Time and tide wait for no man. And then what? What will be your next birth? Dehino smin yatare he kovanam yovanam jara tatati antaraspam dirastam. As the embodied soul passes from the body of a baby to a boy to a youth, an old man, the soul passes into another body at death. And what determines which body you take the next time? It may not be your choice. When you graduate from high school, you only go to the university to which you're qualified to go. Everyone wants to go to Oxford and Cambridge and Harvard. How many go? Few go. You can only go according to your grades. So don't think that when you leave this body next time, I will be born in Delhi. I will be born in New York. Our spiritual master said very clearly that when one famous politician, very famous, I won't mention names, very famous politician in India died in the 1940s, he was such a famous man. One astrologer said he took birth as one of two dogs in a Swedish family. You can think, preposterous. How could you say something? But what do we know? What do we know about this world? We hardly know even how our own bodies are working. We hardly know how the world around us works. We have to understand these things from Shastra, the Lord Himself speaks, where self-realized saints are speaking. This is how we understand the world around us, through enlightened beings, not conditioned souls. So there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee where you'll take your next birth. So if we're thinking we're anything but Krishna's servant, then, you know, we're in illusion. And as long as we're in illusion, we have to stay in the material world. And what does that mean? It means birth. It means disease. It means old age, and it means death. And that's not a very pretty picture. Therefore, our spiritual master, he said, this material world is no place for a lady or for a gentleman. But again, we're so conditioned, we're so covered, we can't see. Once in a while we get a little glimpse of the truth, and we become like the clouds here in this part of the world. You know, the clouds are there, and you get a little ray of sunshine comes through. Wow, the sun! You know, and put it's gone. So sometimes in our life, as we go through life, there's certain impetuses. We get a little glimpse of the truth, and then we become covered over again. We're very unfortunate. So therefore, the Lord, He's coming again and again to remind us. He's sending His representative again and again to remind us that we're not something of this world. Neither should we want to be anything of this world, because at best, it all ends in death. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that is a fact of life. But then again, we have the positive alternative of real life. Punarjanmanavidyate. If you take up this process of Krishna consciousness, as you're seeing it here today, in this hall, then there's every chance that you can revive that eternal nature as God's devotee, as Krishna's devotee. Because ultimately, God is Krishna. God is not just a word or some vague impression of some supreme being. He may be that to neophyte, but to the advanced devotee, he's a person. God is a person. He's the absolute truth. Everything comes from the absolute truth, so he must also be a person, but he's not a person like you and me. He doesn't have a material body that gets diseased alone. No, he has the eternal, beautiful spiritual form, like a youth, a yovanam cha, and he's inviting us to come to the spiritual world and play with him, and dance with him, and eat with him, and be with him, in very deep, loving exchanges that you cannot really find in this material world. He's inviting us back home, back to Godhead, and just to give us a clue of what it's like. He comes out and there's Ratha Yatra parade, and his devotees are singing and dancing and feasting and laughing, and it's like a little glimpse. You get a preview, like the new movie comes out. Before they actually show it at the cinema, there's a preview, and you see the preview. Hey mom, I want to go. No, it's coming out in 2 weeks. Oh, you start thinking, that's what I want. So this festival, this Rath Yatra festival, this is a preview of what the spiritual world is like. What intelligent man or woman would not take up this process? Make the comparison. The spiritual world is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And this kingdom, this material world, as Milton said, smart guy, fool's paradise. It's not eternal. Everything here is temporary. It's not full of knowledge. Even material knowledge, you have to struggle 25 years to learn it. What to speak of spiritual knowledge. And it's not full of bliss. There is some happiness. We're not naive. There is some happiness. It's not enough to satisfy your thirst. If you go to the desert and you're thirsty and someone says, I have water. I have water. Oh, thank you, sir. Give me some water. And he takes a teaspoon out of a cup and he pours one drop of water on your tongue. Is that enough? You've got water. It's not enough. So it would be completely ignorant to say there's no happiness in this world. There's blue skies, there's smiling babies, and handsome boys and pretty girls, and flowers and poetry and music, but the whole show is only temporary. It comes and it goes. The happiness is just like the water that falls on the lotus flower. It stays for a moment and it's gone. Or in the West, we can use the analogy of the duck, the water of the duck. It's there. How long you can enjoy it. You work so hard for so long to get it, and in a moment it's gone. Just start the process all over again. The soul is hanging for something constant. Just as sugar is sweet, salt is salty, water is wet. The soul, you, inside that temporary body, Krishna's servant, your nature, your intrinsic nature, is to always be happy. Without cessation. It seems impossible because we only know this world. There are souls who are even in this world now, who are always experiencing that ananda. Because even here in this material world, they don't forget God, even for a moment. So they're always in His association. So even in this world, you can be happy. Like our Christian brothers say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Yes? Real religion is not some sectarian process. You can find the truth in any bona fide spiritual tradition, in any religion. We're just trying in our own humble way to present that truth. But it is a fact. We can sort of have the kingdom of God here in the spiritual world, in the material world, if we center our life around Jagannath, Lord of the universe, around Krishna. We can be happy here, but we can be supremely happy by going back to the spiritual world where happiness has no beginning and it has no end. So this whole Rath Yatra festival is to give you that experience. If you really embrace, if you really participate in this Rath Yatra festival, you will experience something superior to anything that you ever tried to enjoy in this material world. That we can guarantee. This festival will give you a taste of something better than what the material world has to offer at its best. That is a fact. Otherwise, how is it that all these boys and girls have renounced the materialistic way of life, taken up a set of rules and regulations so disciplined as to make the materialist shake in fear, but they remain happy, always happy in Krishna consciousness. One man said to me, I know you're a religion, you're the smiling religion. Mm-hmm. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating. These rules are very difficult for most people, but for us, it's so easy. Because we have that higher taste, we have that deeper spiritualization, we have that joy which comes from being Jagannath's servant. And some of you, new people, who are here today, you'll come and you'll experience a special atmosphere, something special here, and you'll go. How you will keep that same experience, how you keep advancing, because we don't have Rath Yatra every day in Belfast, we have it once a year. How can you maintain this wonderful spiritual experience that you've gained today? And how can you continue making progress in spiritual life? I'll tell you. Another incarnation of the Lord, also Patita Pavana, is the Lord's holy name. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Out of his infinite mercy, the Lord has also appeared in the form of sound vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Yes. Lord's incarnations are endless, and one incarnation is through sound. It's not like material sound. If you're thirsty, you chant water, water, water. You don't quench your thirst because the word water and the object are different. But God is absolute. He's present in the sound of His name. He's the reservoir of all pleasure. If you say Hallelujah, or you say Jah, or you say Yahweh, or you say Allah Akbar, or you say Buddha, or you say Krishna, the Lord is dancing on the tip of your tongue. And you can always be happy. You can always be in contact with the Lord. You can always be in the spiritual world, even here in the material world, even in this dreary town of Belfast. You can be happy all the time if you remain in contact with the Lord, the singing His holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And that is the greatest gift we can give you. This movement is just about giving. It's just about giving. Because spiritual mathematics are such that 1 - 1 = 1,000. In the material life, if you give something away, it's lost forever. But in spiritual life, if you give something, you gain even more by the Lord's mercy. So we're very happy to come to Belfast and give this nectarian process of Krishna consciousness to all the people of this town. And we're going to have to go. In a couple of hours, we're going to go. But you can remain in blissful Krishna consciousness by taking this one thing home with you. If you can't take anything else, I don't think we have a gift shop. I didn't even see a book display. Probably there is. If there's nothing else you can take home as a memory, keepsake from this festival, just take this one chant with you. Just take this one mantra. Just take this one song with you. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And as it's commonly said today in ISKCON, chant and, you know, be happy. But actually what Prabhupada originally said, I was there in London in the early days, Prabhupada said, chant and your life will be sublime. I like that shloka a little bit better, because happy is one thing, but sublime is refined happiness. It's spiritual happiness. It's happiness in being reinstated as in our original loving relationship with Jagannath, with the Lord of the universe, with Krishna, with God. So we'll leave you with that. Please, all of you, veterans, newcomers, and guests, the essence of Ratha Yatra, the essence of Indian culture, the essence of Vedic culture, the essence of the Lord's coming into this material world to begin with, is chant Hare Krishna and your lives will be sublime. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.